The scripture reading today is from John, chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Thus ends the reading.
Good morning. I want to take a moment to just tell you guys how grateful I am to be here right now. A lot has happened for me in just the last few months, and to be standing here with you is an incredible honor, and it's just been a wonderful experience so far, so thank you. I love this story. It's a story that was planted in me when I was a kid, and I had long hair still. I loved my hair. I felt deeply connected to it, and I loved to just brush through it and braid it and have others play with it, and it was a phenomenal time as a child. But as any person with long hair will tell you, it has also made my life very difficult at times. You may have already seen me fiddling with it so many times, and it will have to stay right here because of this lovely microphone setup that is all on my right side. And so I'm just gonna, also for reference, in case you guys haven't seen, I have very long hair. Thank you. But even growing up, it would be difficult. It would get tangled, and I would have to use an incredible amount of conditioner, still do. And it took a very long time to dry. So maybe as a kid it wasn't too bad because maybe my mom was helping me with it a little bit. But as all kids in elementary school do, my mom would put my hair up in a ponytail every day, and eventually I got tired of it. So I took it down and I laid on this nice soft carpet, and guess what happened? I got ukus. Not only did I get ukus, I had ukus then for 3 months. My mom loved me. But even during those 3 months that I had ukus, cutting my hair was never an option. Never an option for my mom, or for me for that matter. And that's partly because my mom, growing up, got ukus and had very long, beautiful hair, and her parents chopped it straight to the chin. So she knew that it was awful having to have your hair chopped just because you got ukus, which is why it probably lasted 3 months of having the ukus. But my mom loved my hair as much as I did. And that's why, after this whole situation from then on, I kept that ponytail nice and braided all the way down throughout the entire day. And it wasn't until I cut my hair short of my own accord that I stopped wearing my hair up. And part of why I kept my hair long is because, living in Hawaii, you learn that having long hair is one of the most beautiful things that you could possibly have, right? I had gorgeous hair. So you can imagine, as a young child, hearing the story of this woman who anointed Jesus and wiped his feet with her own hair really interested me. As a kid, I was blown away by the idea that I could use my own hair and my own body in that way to serve someone else. To me, it was an act of the greatest love. It was as if saying, "I love you with my whole being." So I imagined myself as the woman serving Jesus. And so the story stuck. And it stuck with me even as I grew up. Again, in high school, I had grown out my big chop from fifth grade, and I felt once again connected to the story, but in a new way. Since I was older, I could now see myself being a friend of Jesus rather than a child at his knee. I was putting myself in Mary's place, and I saw this woman was giving this extravagant gift to Jesus, not just because of who he was, but because she loved him. He was a part of her chosen family, and she was a part of his. That's part of what made Jesus' ministry so powerful. When the world at that time, and you know, even now sometimes, says that your blood family is the only family that matters, people, when we say this, people become trapped in poverty and low social class. So when Jesus came around and said that every person is deserving of love and respect, no matter who they are or where they are from, that was revolutionary. He called us family. He called us friends. Mary showed us that when someone is important to you, you should tell them that. I was lucky, and in high school, I had an incredible group of friends. We loved each other very, very much, and I was a freshman among many seniors, which was very weird at the time. Not for me, for other people, obviously. But because they were older, they really taught me how to show that love. We shared food at lunchtime, we hugged for every greeting, but we also had really deep and important conversations. We had those deep and important conversations while also being the goofiest kids on the block. You know, we were still in high school. But most importantly, we kept each other safe. We were able to rely on each other when it really mattered. Jesus and his friends showed everyone a new way to be together and that it was okay to love each other. So, kind of similarly, I think Jesus and the disciples shared food and wine, sometimes with large crowds. They traveled to a lot of different places while meeting new people and hearing their stories about life. And they learned from one another as they had these conversations. They each used their different gifts to provide for each other, and then there were some of them who couldn't leave and had to stay behind. But they knew. They knew that even if they couldn't go with Jesus, he would be the same. And that's not to say that Jesus isn't changing and growing, because even in the time that Jesus was gone, they surely have changed and grown too. But they knew things would be the same because Jesus called them friends. Jesus called them family. So now, as I'm entering a new season of life, the scripture continues to grow with me. I have long hair again that has grown from a big chop in 2013 when I was fresh out of high school and starting at Windward Community College. And now my hair holds new memories and experiences from the past 9 years. That's kind of crazy. She remembers when I started taking theater classes and performed in my first play. She remembers how hard it was for me to start college on the mainland and when I almost quit. She remembers how excited I was to get a full scholarship to seminary. And most recently, she remembers being surrounded by loved ones and becoming officially ordained. She reminds me every day that I made it through all of that and that I'm still going. She's my own personal timeline. And that's part of why this story means so much to me. I imagine that in many ways, Mary's hair represents the same reflection of her life. Mary was trying to tell her story to Jesus and to everyone in the room, even when she wasn't allowed a voice. The reality of the stories we see in the Bible is that they were likely written by men. And even when a woman did have an important role in the story, they were not often given the chance to speak. And the same is seen in this scripture. Mary, although the main character of the scripture, never says anything. And there could be a multitude of reasons for why she was not given a voice. But the reality is that her actions spoke just as loudly as her words would have. In fact, her actions probably spoke louder than anyone's voice could have. Her lack of voice did not take away from the extravagant gift that she gave to Jesus. And it's really this radical gift that Mary gives that causes the biggest stir for Judas in the scripture. He doesn't seem particularly bothered about her hair, but that nard, oh boy, the nard. I think she might have hurt his feelings on that one. The oil she used was not just any oil. It was an essential oil that is derived from a root in India. I'm going to try to pronounce this. A root in India called Narostachi Jadomansi. There it is. The oil from this root was like the Gucci of ancient times. You know what I mean? So if you had this oil, you were probably pretty rich, right? And it, even in the scripture, it says that this one bottle of oil was worth a whole year's worth of wages. So you work for a whole year, and then you can afford a single bottle. Now I think we can all imagine why Judas would have been so upset over the use of this oil. Not only because it was expensive, but also because she was using it on a living person. Oils like this one were used for their smell on bodies of the people that have passed away. There weren't the same type of embalming practices that we do today, where we can view our loved ones' bodies sometimes days or weeks after they've passed. So, Mary anoints Jesus' feet with this insanely expensive oil, and then uses her hair, which holds her life, her mana, within it, to clean Jesus' feet. For why? From the outside, and an extremely hindsight position, we know that this gift was really the beginning of the end for Jesus. It was the anointing that marked the beginning of the story of Jesus' betrayal and death. And he had been talking about this for a while now. He said that his death was coming soon, and in large part, the disciples either didn't get it, or they were being very willfully ignorant about what Jesus was talking about. Mary, on the other hand, heard Jesus. She heard him say that he would not always be with them, and probably saw the large unrest happening with the Roman leaders and Pharisees. She took what Jesus said to heart, and she understood that their time together was limited. And it pushed her to give him this gift and say that his life and his relationship with her was important. So her act was extravagant, not only because the oil and her hair, but because she essentially was participating in his funeral while he was still alive. And that's really strange, you know? But because we don't celebrate each other the same way when we're alive as when someone passes, right? It's kind of why celebrating birthdays can be so important to people. It's a chance to express how much we love that person while they're still able to hear it. Mary's act of anointing Jesus and washing his feet screamed to Jesus and anyone else in the room how important he was. This gift from Mary would also later be done by Jesus to the disciples. He wouldn't be using the nard, but he would be taking a knee in service and serving each of his disciples as he would to someone precious to him. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Mary's act of love that inspired Jesus to do so. So, the scripture contains so much more than I think anyone can fit into one conversation. But the things I think this scripture brings up the most are friendship and love. Through the story and the different experiences that we all have in our lives, we can see that this extravagant gift in so many different ways. But at its core, it is a story of how someone listened to their friend, took those words to heart, and acted on them in a way that expressed their deep love. That is what Jesus shows us in his ministry. That is Jesus' sole commandment, to love one another. Mary's extravagant gift was an act of love that deeply impacted those around her, even if that impact was people thinking that she was very unworthy, or felt that the oil she used was wasted, or felt that her hair to wipe Jesus' feet was disgusting. She chose this gift, and it felt right to her in her heart, to make sure that Jesus understood how precious he was. Our lives are constantly filled with difficulties and stressors that distract us or tell us that other people are not worthy of our time and effort. Our busy lives don't allow for compassion and care. But time and time again, we read in the scripture that tells us otherwise. I've shown and told the story from my perspective, as someone with a lot of hair, that relates to Mary and her act of love. But the reality is that you don't need hair to be Mary, right? There's a lot of us that don't have that much hair. You don't even need the nard to wash some or to wash someone's feet, because that would be kind of weird, I think, to wash someone's feet now. Depending on the context, it could be fine. All you need, foundationally, all you need is an open heart and the courage to act. I'm going to say that one more time. All you need is an open heart and the courage to act. So be Mary. Listen to the people around you and actually hear them. See them for who they are and do something about it. During my ordination, I used the Mark version of this story because of the rich and deep meaning that it has for me, obviously. But it was my mentor who gave the sermon that day, Lee Yates, who reminded me again of the importance of actually seeing people. He talked about how Mark's version of the anointing woman had the sight to see Jesus for who he was, and that in the same way, we are challenged to see people for who they are. This is not easy in a world where we are trained to not see certain types of people. The houseless, poor, and disabled siblings that we have, among many others, have been told that they are not worthy of our time and effort. We are taught that if we get too close, they will only take from us, and so we learn to turn away, to make them invisible. And so that is a part of our challenge when we read this story. Yes, it's good and maybe even easier to see our loved ones, but there's a whole world of people out there that are just as deserving of love as the ones that we care about. As Christians and followers of Christ, we are tasked to see the invisible and care for those that don't have a voice. Sometimes even when we ourselves don't have a voice. So take this moment and remember that it was Jesus who taught us what it looks like to live with an open heart, and to serve and be with those who have been told that they don't deserve. He did this through joining with people at the table. And even on the night that Jesus was betrayed and arrested by the state, he took of the bread. After taking it and blessing it, he broke it, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Every time that you eat it, do it in remembrance of me." And in the same way, Jesus took the cup, and after blessing it, poured it out, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Every time that you drink of this, do it in remembrance of me." As we remember the life of Jesus during this season of Lent, keep in mind that Jesus was not alone during this time. A whole big part of Jesus' ministry was his community, his friends, his family, and not even necessarily those that were blood related to him. This table is a reminder that Jesus can be with us in the same way, and Jesus can be seen in all of us in the same way. The table is set. Our servers may come, and let us share in this meal together.
Please join me in the communion prayer. Wondrous God, mahalo for the gifts of this table, the bounty from our land, and the people being woven into your community in this place. As we share in this bread, may we allow our lives to be given in service and love justice, and peace. As we drink from the cup and take in its blessing, may we prepare ourselves to give drink to the thirsty, food to the hungry, be friends with the oppressed, and serve the whole of your creation. Amen.
I believe it's my turn. So, whoa, sorry. So, you've heard the story of Mary. Remember, you don't need hair to be Mary. The challenge and kind of the lesson I want you all to remember is that through not only Jesus, but through what we learn from Jesus and the people around us that maybe don't even know who Jesus is, but definitely look and act like Jesus, are the people that we can learn from. Even those that we are consider or maybe have been taught to not see, those who have been made invisible. So I send you out not only with that challenge, but also knowing that you are that person as well. You are someone that is deserving of love and is always loved by God. So go out with this blessing. Amen.